Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Happy Thursday, everyone. You're listening to All About Healing. I'm your host, Emily Francis, and we have the fabulous producer, Jay, on the line with us. And he is who makes this show go round, so always appropriate to give thanks and credit where credit is due. Now, I record these shows 1 week prior to when you all get to hear them. We pre-record because I live in Malta, and I used to do them live until we moved here, and it just always made me a little nervous being live so far away across the world, and so I pre-record. So when this show airs, it will be exactly my 7-year anniversary with Healthy Life Radio. So thank you, not just to Jay for doing this show this week, but to every show that we've done week after week for 7 years. And Linda McKenzie, the owner of HealthyLife.net, and I owe you both a tremendous amount of gratitude and love, and I'm grateful for you. So happy anniversary to us, to All About Healing, and I hope that now that we've moved to Thursdays instead of Wednesdays, we have a nice big group coming with us. That being said, we have a wonderful, wonderful guest on tonight. She's been on before. We have Kimberly Brown on the line. She's a popular meditation teacher and author. She leads classes and workshops that emphasize the power of compassion and kindness to reconnect to ourselves and others. Her teachings provide an approachable pathway to personal and collective well-being through effective and modern techniques based on traditional practices. Her previous books, Steady, Calm, and Brave, 25 Practices of Resilience and Wisdom in a Crisis, and Navigating Grief and Loss, 25 Buddhist Practices to Keep Your Heart Open to Yourself and Others, are both published from the same publisher that this new book is, Prometheus Books. So we have a new book from Kimberly Brown, and it is Happy Relationships, 25 Buddhist Practices to Transform Your Connections with Your Partner, Family, and Friends. And Kimberly, first I just want to say welcome back to the show. I'm happy to hear your beautiful voice, and I'm glad to have you on.
Oh, Emily, that was a beautiful introduction. So thank you so much. I'm glad to be here again.
You know, I have a lot of questions, but the very first one, practicing, you've been a practitioner of Buddhist philosophy, Buddhist tradition, for how long?
You know, it's close to 20 years now. That I've been practicing, and I guess it's about 15 since I've been teaching.
Amazing. I don't know why, but I can't hear anything. Kimberly, okay, there you go.
Okay. I'm here.
It just all of a sudden went blank, and I didn't know when to jump in. I didn't want to speak over you, but I couldn't hear anything. So you said, so close to 15 years ago you started teaching.
I did, and about 20 years ago I became a student. I was someone who, for many years, I practiced yoga here in New York City where I live, and I practiced it for exercise. You know, it wasn't a spiritual endeavor. But there always was a little bit of meditation before and sometimes at the end. And that kind of got me interested in meditation. And then I started to have panic attacks. And Emily, you have read my bio. I had trained to be a psychotherapist. I had had lots of psychotherapy. I could tell you why certain feelings and unsettling emotions were coming up and why maybe I was having the panic attacks, but I did not know what to do with them. I had no tools. And that led me into learning mindfulness, which led me into the Buddhist path. And I became a student pretty quickly because the techniques really helped me.
I love that. I think that is the way. I think that is such a profound way to find that path opening. And I also, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because when I was like 23, I started studying really deeply Tai Chi and yoga. Mm-hmm. And I loved them both, and I immersed myself into it for many, many years. But it is interesting that I started really falling from panic attacks to where it became, I was no longer functional, really, in my life. And it always shocked people because I could teach yoga. And I remember teaching a yoga class. I'd gone to hypnotherapy before it for my anxiety, and I'm in the parking lot crying and talking to myself. You can do this. You can do this.
Yeah.
You can go in and teach. And I thought to myself, teach the class like you need to speak to yourself, like be your best friend. And at the end of the class, people were crying in the meditation. I had a line out the door to talk to me, and I remember this one woman came up to me and she said, "You're so lucky. You must feel like a noodle all the time. You must just go through life so calm and relaxed." And I just looked at her and I said, "You would be surprised." And I thought, what a lie, what a faker I am. Like, how good am I at manipulating my energy that you think I'm so calm when I'm about to break? And then I really broke instead, because I couldn't keep it up. I couldn't keep up the facade of having it together.
Yeah, beautifully said, Emily. And I think part of the reason so many people are struggling in many different ways. I mean, we read this, at least in the United States, it's something like 1 in 4 people suffer from loneliness, mental illness is at all-time highs, depression. Part of that is this facade that we feel we must, you know, we can't be vulnerable, we can't show that we're struggling. If we do, people will think there's something wrong with us, or they won't like us, or they won't take us seriously, you know? And I think that's so pervasive. Yep. Or they won't take your class. Yep.
I didn't want people to think that all the years of study was a lie. But here's my other side, and I would love to know your thoughts on this. My other side is that when you practice these practices of breath, of these long, relaxed breaths, when you practice that, it makes you so keenly aware of your breathing that it put me into a tailspin. Instead of calming me for a long time, it put me into an over-awareness, where if one of my breaths wasn't fully calm and complete, I felt like something was wrong. And I would follow it in. And so I always tell people now, when you start to learn, you know, pranayama or any sort of breathing practice, be careful. Try to enjoy it and use it as a healthy place, but try not to become obsessed with following that breath, because it can really take you into a wormhole that you never thought was possible. And that's just me, because I'm a hypochondriac. So if one of the breaths was off, it was like, oh my gosh, what is it? You know, and I would follow down. But I think you have to, some people go through a part where you go down into the dark so that you can come back up and successfully stay in a space of light and balance, because you already know what it looks like when you're not. Does that make sense?
Yes, it absolutely does, Emily. And your experience with the breath, that is not uncommon. I've noticed that the students that they're suffering is anxiety, will often struggle with breath meditation. So we do a different meditation. There are many, many different ways to do it. It does not have to be that way. And, you know, in my tradition, the teachers will usually say, do the meditation that is the easiest for you to do. That's how you should start. It shouldn't be a struggle. It shouldn't be, oh no, I have to do this, it's so hard. It should be the simplest, easiest technique. And for some people, you know, that could be resting your attention on sound. That could be doing loving kindness meditation, which is what I commonly teach. It could be body mindfulness, which, you know, yoga nidra from the yoga tradition is really a wonderful way in.
So knowing who I'm talking to, what did you do? What kind of things did you go through in your mind or did you say to yourself before we came into this conversation today? Like, how do you prepare yourself to have a conversation with someone? You know, I mean, you're promoting your book and different things, but what was the, take me through the way that you would treat yourself to get into this space.
Sure. You know, first I'll just sit and get still. You know, without a technique, without like, oh, I have to meditate, but really just to sit and get still and not have a device in front of me and not be talking. And that really helps me just settle and be a moment. And it helps me notice what might be arising. You know, even though I know you, Emily, and I've, you know, talked to you before and I know it's going to be a lovely conversation, I still had a little, oh, I hope I'm prepared. You know, I hope I know, you know, what Emily's talking about and what I say is relevant. So just sitting there for a minute or two, I can feel that arising. And from, in my tradition, we don't try to get rid of anything. Like, I don't try to make that something different. Instead, I say, okay, I see you. I see this is here, and it's okay. You know, I'm not going to struggle against it. And then another thing that's important in the, especially the Buddhist tradition, is getting in touch with your intention. And intention is a little different than goal, you know. An intention is, well, how do I want to approach things? How do I approach my life, my relationships, my interview with someone? And for me, that intention is always, well, I would like this interview to be beneficial to anyone who's listening to it. And so when I come back to that, that helps me orient how I'm going to talk with you and what I'm going to say. If I can, you know, reconnect with, oh, okay, well, I'd like my words to be beneficial to the listeners. I'd like them to be beneficial for me, too. And that helps me then prepare. That's my preparation, Emily, for an endeavor like this. And I think for most endeavors, it looks a lot like that. Is yours similar?
Yeah, well, so if you were going to go public speak, you would do the same? Or is there anything?
No, I would do something very similar. Yep, I would do the same.
Well,
yep.
The only thing is that we can't do a meditation on a radio show because people are usually driving. So we can't do any sort of like close your eyes, take a deep breath, like I would love to do. Because what I would love is to have like a taste of you know, the kind of thing that you teach. But because that's not a smart thing to do on a radio show, I ask questions like this. But the truth is, what I want is for people to walk away and get a taste of what you do so that they can implement that the next time that they find themselves, because you're always going to be overwhelmed. You know, people might not public speak for a living, but there's going to be some scenario in the next day or two for every person that's listening right now that they're going to have to give a little self-talk. And so I love just as much as you can offer or want to offer, I wish I could ask you to please take us through something, but I can't. So if you can just, you know, tell me how you would get up on a stage or go into a place that's scary.
Beautiful. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, what I'm about to say now is a general guide, and you can, everybody listening can use this in different situations, whether it's you're giving a presentation at work or you've just had a disagreement with your daughter. So what I'm talking about are times when you have powerful feelings. Those feelings could be anxiety. They could be worry. They could be excitement, anger, fear. Okay, anything that's really, you could feel in your body. And it's energizing you in a way that's upsetting. So the first thing to do is to get rid of all the devices. Get rid of all the devices. Sit down if you can, or just be somewhere quiet for a couple of minutes. I'd like you to put a hand on your heart and a hand on your belly so you can feel your own reassuring presence. And just to take a pause there, if the mind is very wild, you know, which it would be if you're in an upsetting moment, it might feel like, I can't stay here. Okay, great. You stay here for a minute. And then you get up and you come back for another minute. If you're somewhere where it's not possible to get still, like you're at work or you're at school or you're in the grocery store, all you need to do is stop for a second. Nobody needs to see you do anything. Take a deep breath and say to yourself, may I be easy. May I be gentle with myself. May I care for myself. May I welcome what's happening right now. Any of these kind of phrases. Breathe deeply into your belly a couple times and say those phrases silently. And you can do that, like I said, anywhere. Nobody has to see you do it. So the most useful is to get somewhere quiet, sit, and do that, hand on heart, hand on belly. And if you can't, you can certainly pause for a moment and say these reassuring phrases to yourself as you breathe. You could even do that driving for a moment.
I love that. I do think that takes a lot of practice, to be kind in your self-talk and in your allowing, wherever it is that you are. It's actually one of the things I love the most about the Buddhist philosophy is just the allowing that you are where you are right now. That's it. It's okay. Like, and giving yourself permission to have your feelings and not get so attached that they become a weight. It's a gift.
Yes.
But it's a
yes.
hard gift.
That's it.
It's not an easy. You don't just start practicing and like, because I listen to you and you sound so confident in this calm. You know, when you say it, you can hear this has been repeated in your heart and your mind and your mantra for years. You can hear it. And I hope whoever's listening, we want that. I want that for everybody that's listening. So whatever the mantra becomes, I had to work really hard on my own mantra. And I remember when I was writing The Body Heals Itself, and my editor came back and she said, you're not quoting this person. Who wrote it? And I said, I wrote it. You know, this is what I say to myself. And what I say to myself, because, again, I am a hypochondriac, like to the bone, and I work really hard. I'm like a hypochondriac in recovery, if you will. And so when I get overwhelmed, I turn inside myself and I say, every cell in my body is reprogramming itself to function at healthy, optimum levels. And I say it over and over and over until I have lost the other thoughts that were confusing and heavy and not pleasing. And once I repeat it enough, then I start to remember that I do trust my body. I do trust my health. I do trust where I'm standing because I am standing. You know, like then you start going these small movements of, oh, I am alive. You are here. You are breathing. Okay. Where there's breath, there's hope. Let's start. Let's go small. Instead of jumping into these massive pits of huge expectations in your healing or in your ability to be calm, because I do think that that's a hard place to be, and I love how kind
But you can tell the practice in your voice when you say it. So what's the thing that you say to yourself probably the most?
I usually say, there are a couple kind of phrases that I always go to, and one is, Kim, you're okay. It's okay. It's a very soothing thing. Kim, it's okay. You're okay. I say that in moments of, you know, distress when I'm arguing with someone I love, or, you know, it seems like something is falling apart. You know, you're okay. It's okay. And I also say, things are really difficult. I will say, Kim, let it fall apart. Let it fall apart. And then I say traditional, those phrases that I mentioned to you are from loving kindness meditation. So I'll say things like, may I be gentle with myself? Kim, be gentle with yourself. Kim, may you be happy. And I think what you just said about it being a practice, Emily, it is very hard, Emily.
I think that's an important thing to acknowledge, that it is very hard. But that doesn't, it's also very worth it, but it's not an easy thing to go into this path and really step in. Because I actually think, I'm going to say this and then we're going to go to commercial break, but I remember my naturopath saying that the hardest thing he's had to help people with is giving themselves permission to heal was actually the hardest thing to get through to people, was giving themselves permission that they're allowed to heal. And for some reason, that's a really hard thing to get to. But with that, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're on with Kimberly Brown, and we're going to pick right back up right from here. We'll be right back.
Emily A. Francis's new book, The Taste of Joy, Mediterranean Wisdom for a Life Worth Savoring, is all about heartfelt hints on attaining the most healthiest, fun, and inspiring life. By adding a bit of the Mediterranean lifestyle into your life, you'll explore the wisdom of eating mindfully, seasonally, and locally, as well as discover Mediterranean family secrets to health and happiness. And it's all in The Taste of Joy. Get your copy today at Amazon.com or visit EmilyAFrancisBooks.com.
Now there's hope for authentic healing. A new book by Emily A. Francis, Whole Body Healing, Create Your Own Path to Physical, Emotional, Energetic, and Spiritual Wellness, can help you discover a deeper way to approach your healing instead of using just the usual mainstream medical single methods. With Whole Body Healing and its extensive background of research, you'll be able to create your own healing path to achieve true and lasting results. Pre-order Whole Body Healing now at Amazon.com. You won't want to miss this priceless information. Whole Body Healing at Amazon.com by Emily A. Francis.
ASMC, the premier German company that supplies everything for adventure, from outdoor clothes to outdoor gear, even backpacks. Lots of quality and lots of specials. To start your adventure, go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ASMC.
You may never totally understand this man-woman emotional connection thing, but now you can understand your muscles' emotional connection in regards to your health. That's right, your muscles have an emotional connection. And if you want an easy-to-use blueprint to understand your muscles' emotion, then get Emily A. Francis's book, The Body Heals Itself. It helps you activate and heal your muscles on an emotional level. So indeed, the body heals itself. Plus, it's filled with tools you can use immediately. Find out more at EmilyAFrancisBooks.com. Buy The Body Heals Itself now.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to All About Healing. If if you're just tuning in or it's your first time coming to All About Healing, I welcome you to keep coming back. We have wonderful guests. I love to discuss anything healing related, body, mind, spirit, energy. And today we have Kimberly Brown on the line, and she has a new book out, Happy Relationships, 25 Buddhist Practices to Transform Your Connections with Your Partner, Family, and Friends. Now, Kimberly, I'm going to get really honest, and I'm actually very pleased that our lining up for you to be on the show happens to be now. And I'm going to tell you something that's been going on with me because I'm very overwhelmed with it. And when you said, let it fall apart, it really like hit me in my heart because I need to do that. And here's why. I live in Malta. I'm in a foreign country and I've worked really, really hard to not step on toes. I say that my job is to stay neutral and say yes to everything. And all of a sudden, in the last couple of months, I've lost a very dear friend because I was kind to one of her enemies and put them on one of my shows. And it was so quick, like 2 minutes, and it was such a minimal thing. But here, if you make really close friends, they do expect you to take on their enemies, and that's not something I'm willing to do. So it's been tough. And then the other one was I actually brought this on, and it's been weighing on me so heavy. I went to breakfast with a dear friend, a mom friend, and our kids are in the same grade. And we went out to breakfast, and we got into a little bit of a gossip, but not in a, I didn't think it was going to be in a bad way. Our school had a sleepover, and neither of our kids went. And so I was saying to her, my daughter said she heard this and this and this. And then the mom looked at me and she goes, you know, I probably shouldn't tell you. I really shouldn't tell you. I probably shouldn't tell you. Now, I wish I would have said, you know what? Don't tell me. I wish I would have stopped right there. Instead, I was like, doesn't matter. My child wasn't there. How bad could it be? It was bad. It was bad, bad. It was like against the law and very dangerous to another child. And I don't understand how you can tell me a story and you've done nothing to help the child. And the child doesn't know. Like something happened to them and they don't actually even know it's happened. And now it might even be online. And I flipped out, but I tried really hard to not show how much I flipped out. And so I went home later and I thought, I'm gonna take care of this. I don't want anybody here to hear about this. I want to go right to the school counselor that I work with quite closely and I'm gonna report this so that they can get ahead of this and protect this child now, like right now. And so I did that, and I did not implicate my friend, you know, where I heard it from. And then the people, the counselor kept calling back, freaked out, trying to figure out how are we going to find the kid that did this. You know, you have no information except for this outside thing. So after they called me three times, I totally breached trust, and I said where I heard it from, still thinking they wouldn't actually get involved because I've worked with this counselor for 2 years, 3 years now, and they've never breached my trust. And unfortunately, they did, and they took my friend's child into the office to talk to them. They can't be in trouble because they weren't there. But my friend was absolutely fiery furious with me and called me and asked if I turned this, if I went to the school and said this. And all of a sudden, I had to admit everything that, yes, I did. I was trying to protect this child, and I still don't get it. I don't get it. So I'm really wrestling with myself. They have forgiven me. I have not. I'm profoundly embarrassed. I'm not upset that I tried to save someone. I if it were my own children that told me, I would have had them turn it in without even blinking, because I never want my children to think it's okay to know that somebody's in danger and do nothing. That's never something I will teach my kids ever, as long as I live. But because it wasn't that, and I didn't protect their child, even though I really didn't think they'd get in trouble, I have felt like, I feel like this is a huge life shift for me. Like something is definitely going on because I don't usually have big blow-ups with people. I mean, I didn't blow back. I apologized over and over. It's on me. But is it, like, is it on me when you try to save someone? So it's that thing. When you said, let it fall apart, that's exactly where it is. It needs to fall apart.
Yeah, I mean, what a story, Emily. From a Buddhist view, you must, if you can prevent harm from happening, you must act, you know, if it's possible. And sometimes your actions will have other outcomes, you know, that you don't intend. And like you said, happened here. But your initial response is correct, is skillful. You know, I don't like to say good or bad, but it's the proper one in terms of being ethical for yourself and other people, you know. And that being said, you know, being able to recognize, one of the reasons I'll say Kim let it fall apart is what I am acknowledging there is not everything's up to me. I cannot control if what my that my friend is angry about this. I can't. I could apologize. I could review what I said and perhaps choose to do it differently in the future. But how they feel and what they do isn't up to me. And so for me, it's a real relief. I can actually feel the tension in my body kind of ease up when I say, Kim, just let it fall apart. It doesn't mean I'm giving up. It means I am allowing reality to happen.
And that's where I'm at, is to let it fall apart. But I also feel like it's a huge, like I believe when you lose jewelry, it's a signal that that your energy is shifting, that something is changing. And I think this particular situation, I'm very disappointed in myself that I did not stop and say, I don't feel comfortable telling you where I heard this. Even though I know it could help, you know, lead to whatever it is, I don't feel comfortable. Or, you know, I wish I would have held the line just with regards to their child's name. Outside of that, I do not regret, and I can't imagine having that kind of information and looking the other way. It goes against my moral compass in every way, shape, and form, you know, to try to keep somebody safe, especially a young person. You're talking about children. And I'm a mandatory reporter in the United States because I've worked with children. You know, this is not acceptable to know something, but the way I did not hold my boundaries well, and I'm ashamed of that. And I wish I would have been a little bit stronger in, this is the information I can give you, this is the only thing I know, and I'm not giving this person's name. But I can't, I've been chewing it up so much that I've been making myself physically sick over it. And there has to be a line where exactly what you're talking about. Where does the line come in when I really can say that to myself and mean it?
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned the word ashamed, and I hear that a lot. I feel that a lot. And it really is an insidious feeling. It's not, oh, I've made a mistake. It's, oh, I'm a bad person. Oh, what's wrong with me? But really, all of us are imperfect. And one of the phrases that I'll say to myself is, I allow myself to be imperfect. I allow myself to make mistakes. And if someone else is imperfect, I have to say the same for them. I allow you to be imperfect. I allow you to make mistakes. And that is also, that's part of reality, and letting things fall apart.
I love it. All right, we're going to take another commercial break, but we'll be right back with Kimberly Brown and Happy Relationships.
Trauma or joy, shame or happiness, guilt or empowerment. Let Emily's new book, Healing Ourselves Whole, be the bridge to help you release negative emotions to help you heal on every level to create more joy, more health, and more vitality. Our body knows what we might forget. It's time to rearrange your inner conversation into spectacular health and happiness, and Healing Ourselves Whole is your step-by-step guide. Find out more at emilyafrancisbooks.com and buy Healing Ourselves Whole at Amazon.com now.
Now there's hope for authentic healing. A new book by Emily A. Franz's Whole Body Healing, Create Your Own Path to Physical, Emotional, Energetic, and Spiritual Wellness can help you discover a deeper way to approach your healing instead of using just the usual mainstream medical single methods. With Whole Body Healing and its extensive background of research, you'll be able to create your own healing path to achieve true and lasting results. Pre-order Whole Body Healing now at Amazon.com. You won't want to miss this priceless information. Whole Body Healing at Amazon.com by Emily A. Francis.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
You may never totally understand this man-woman emotional connection thing, but now you can understand your muscles' emotional connection in regards to your health. That's right, your muscles have an emotional connection. And if you want an easy-to-use blueprint to understand your muscles' emotion, then get Emily A. Francis's book, The Body Heals Itself. It helps you activate and heal your muscles on an emotional level. So indeed, The Body Heals Itself. Plus, it's filled with tools you can use immediately. Find out more at EmilyAFrancisBooks.com. Buy The Body Heals Itself now.
The Bright Side of Talk. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to All About Healing. I hope you are enjoying this conversation as much as I am. We have Kimberly Brown on the line, and her latest book, Happy Relationships, 25 Buddhist Practices to Transform Your Connections with Your Partner, Family, and Friends. So let's get a little bit more into the book breakdown. So 25 Buddhist Practices to Transform These Connections. Clearly, I am in need and in a shift. And I told you more of the details over the break, and now you can understand my dilemma, because I'm not ashamed that I acted. I wish I had better boundaries in how I did it. But what are some of the practices that we can do to transform those connections?
Absolutely, and you know, taking this as an example, with you and your friendships, and you know, choosing to do the ethical thing, and people are being upset about that. You know, the practice that I would choose to suggest to you would be a practice in self-compassion, Emily. And a lot of our relationships, to cultivate closeness with our family, with our spouse, with our kids, really begin with cultivating a kindness with ourselves. So we're coming from that place. So when we are in relationship with other people, that we're able to communicate with them from clarity, from wisdom, and from kindness, not from fear, anxiety, shame, guilt, expectation. And so one way to do that is to begin, simple self-compassion practices, very similarly to what I mentioned, you know. May I allow myself to be imperfect? May I learn from my mistakes? There are other practices, simply, may I be happy? May I be healthy? And then sharing them with others. May we be happy? May we be healthy? And these can really, again, come, you know, return you to your intention, which is to be loving, to be wise with yourself and everybody that you care about. And to not allow yourself to get caught in all of those confusing feelings. You know, we were talking earlier that it is hard at first. It's a practice. And what we're practicing is rewiring, reconditioning the mind. You know, the habits that we have of worry, of anxiety, of shame, of guilt, of thoughts like, Kim, you always do this. Kim, why? That was so stupid. Kim, you're never going to figure this out. Like, those are all things that I learned growing up and that society and culture have really reinforced it does for me and all of us. And so the practice of, you know, you mentioned every cell of my body is reprogramming. You are rewiring from this a paranoid, fearful sense of your health to a trust. And yes, it takes practice because our conditioning is very old. It's caused deep grooves and reactions in our minds. And yet, slowly, slowly, we can start to create these new grooves.
I needed that. Thank you. I hope everybody who's listening feels that too. Because I do think that, well, the practice. It's been a really long time since I've been in a situation, to be honest, where I have to go through this. I haven't had issues with people in a really long time. I might have some little something once a year, once every other year. You know, where it's like I may have overstepped something, but otherwise I try to keep really clean, really clean. And, you know, it's hard. It's an important part of life, but difficult.
Yes. And, so, you know, part of the reason I wrote the book, Emily, is, and it's in there over and over again, is I always thought happy relationships were free from any sort of struggle, disappointment, misunderstanding, frustration, argument, what you just went through with your friendship. I just thought, well, when that happens, it means either they're a bad relationship or I'm doing something wrong. But what I've realized, Emily, is all relationships, they're going to have ruptures. All of them. That's the nature of being human and relating to one another. We're imperfect. Our words are imperfect. And the practice really is to learn to repair well, to repair in yourself and to repair with other people. And you know, you're a mom. I know you've experienced that. You know, I'm sure there's times when you miscommunicate or times when your kids are mad about something. And what's important is being able to repair it with patience and, you know, with a lot of space for yourself and the others. And I hope that that's what this book can present for people and, you know, maybe reframe that we don't have to be perfect to have very healthy and loving relationships.
I think that there's, you know, it's interesting because I do get along well with others, and I know how to handle a lot of places, but it still comes back to how I treat myself when I mess up, because my friend has been much kinder to me. Like, she wants to move past this. She's been beautiful with it. It's me. It's me that's really uncomfortable to come back up and out. It's like some deep thing where I need to be punished a little bit longer. Like, I need to stay in the corner for a while. And it's not nobody else is doing that. It's me. And it's an interesting thing that at 50 years old, I'm punishing myself in a way that's deeper than what's outside of me. You know, when did I do that? And I see that in one of my children, too, who sort of self-punishes, and it always makes me nervous. And I always think, where does she get this from? And now I know exactly where she gets it from. But I've never said that out loud, but it still has to be something that you inherit and you watch. She doesn't know anything. My children don't know anything about this situation. They have no idea anything's happened because I don't want the gossip. I was trying to get ahead of the line on the rumor mill and squash it at the source. Mm-hmm. And so to discuss it with my kids would do exactly what I was trying to prevent. So I haven't talked to anybody here.
Well, you know, you mentioned that a healer you went to said the hardest thing is to help people give themselves permission to heal. I think that's what you said, Emily.
And yeah, to heal. To heal.
And in my work, which, you know, I teach meditation, but what I teach is self-compassion. And loving kindness practices. And That is the hardest thing, is to allow people to give themselves permission to be kind to themselves, to be patient, to forgive themselves. It's really, and you're not alone, Emily. We live in a culture that really encourages that. What's wrong with you? Very punitive. We take that in. And a big part of the practice is just giving yourself permission to soften, to forgive, to let go, and just to be kind.
I think that be kind is so hard until you're in the flow with it. And then you're like, how can it be hard? And then you get off track and you go, ooh, we got to take one more commercial break. But don't worry, we're going to pick right back up. We have Kimberly Brown on the line. We'll be right back.
Emily A. Francis's new book, The Taste of Joy, Mediterranean Wisdom for a Life Worth Savoring, is all about heartfelt hints on attaining the most healthiest, fun, and inspiring life. By adding a bit of the Mediterranean lifestyle into your life, you'll explore the wisdom of eating mindfully, seasonally, and locally, as well as discover Mediterranean family secrets to health and happiness. And it's all in The Taste of Joy. Get your copy today at Amazon.com or visit EmilyAFrancisBooks.com.
Now there's hope for authentic healing. A new book by Emily A. Francis, Whole Body Healing, Create Your Own Path to Physical, Emotional, Energetic, and Spiritual Wellness, can help you discover a deeper way to approach your healing instead of using just the usual mainstream medical single methods. With Whole Body Healing and its extensive background of research, you'll be able to create your own healing path to achieve true and lasting results. Pre-order Whole Body Healing now at Amazon.com. You won't want to miss this priceless information. Whole Body Healing at Amazon.com by Emily A. Francis.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
If you have low vision or are blind, then listen up. There's now high visibility trendy sports clothing available just for you. At AwareWolfGear.com, you'll find attractive, stretchy, warm hoodies, headgear, leggings, even kids' wear to fit the duality of blindness, the need to be seen without drawing needless attention. Check out these trendy clothes for yourself or for someone you know at AwareWolfGear.com. That's AwareWolfGear.com. AwareWolfGear.com.
Music, information, and friends. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to All About Healing. Today we have Kimberly Brown on the line with her new book, Happy Relationships, 25 Buddhist Practices to Transform Your Connections with Your Partner, Family, and Friends. Now, Kim, I have to say, first of all, I'm so grateful that we had this talk today, and I'm grateful that you allowed me to share what's been happening in my life, because I actually went into the church here and asked for a priest to sit down and could I take confession, which is the first time I've done that in 5 years that I live here. But I just, again, did not want to talk about something and perpetuate gossip. Okay. And so I wanted to take it to a safe place, and I did cry. And actually, the priest was fantastic with his response in that my intentions were pure. You know, it's sad that I breached trust along the way, but that wasn't the intention behind everything that I did, and that actually here, by law, they were, it was actually supposed to even have police involved because it's involving children. So he was like, you know, you were trying to save from criminal behavior that was happening. So I felt a little bit better, coming out of that, and I feel a lot better coming out of it with you and I in this conversation. But what I want to do for the last part of this show, everybody that writes a book has committed really their life and their education, their training, into the words that they wrote in the book. And because I refuse to do any pre-questions or open up, when PR people send me a list of questions, I won't even open it, because I just want it to be really organic when I have a conversation. But what I don't want to do is take away the message that you came here to deliver. So I'm going to step back and give you the stage to say everything you want to say to the listeners regarding the work of the book and your intentions. That work?
Yes, thank you. How lovely. First of all, and I said this a little earlier, the intention behind writing this book is to let everyone know, everybody who's listening here, that you can have happy relationships with your family, with your sister, with your mom who drives you crazy, and with your friends. And when I say happy, I don't mean free from struggle or difficulty. I don't mean that there won't be times when you feel frustrated or difficult losses happen, you know, and stress happens. All of those things are going to happen because you're human. And so this book is really about how not to avoid difficulty, how to repair ruptures, and how to create an intention of wisdom and lovingness for yourself and everybody that you're close to. And also, part of that is the recognition of how valuable your life is. All of our lives are. And this reason that it's so valuable is because all of our thoughts, all of our communications with other people, and all of our actions affect others. And so when we can get in touch with ourselves and have an understanding and a mindfulness of our internal state and what we'd like to offer, then we're able to orient our words in ways that are useful, that are wise, that are kind. Then we're able to use our actions in ways that don't harm, in ways that are beneficial to ourselves and other people. And so I want to encourage everybody to start to recognize that, because a lot of us forget how precious our lives are and how we have these really beautiful qualities. We forget that, you know, the world is kind of set up on self-loathing and humans suck. But the truth is, all the beauty, all the kindness, all the love, all the compassion is right here in each of our hearts. And the practices that I offer in this book from the Buddhist tradition are designed to make you aware of it and help you develop these qualities so you can share them in your life. And, you know, the final chapter is called Where Will You Leave It? And what it's suggesting, it's something that my mother-in-law says, where would you leave it? And what it's asking us to recognize is that our lives are short and brief, and we do have all these beautiful qualities, and we do have these difficult qualities. So where can we leave our beautiful qualities? Where can I leave my generosity, my kindness, my sense of humor, my compassion? Well, I can leave it with others. I can leave it with my family, with my kids and my sisters, with my close friendships and my spouse. And taking a moment to reflect on that, where do you want to leave it? This book can help you give the best of yourself to the people you care about the most. And that includes you, Emily.
Well, it's fabulous. It's, you know, it's interesting how difficult the simplest things are. That they're not supposed to be so difficult, but we somehow manage to make things so much harder than they have to be. And when you let go a little bit, you can find that that simplicity, those easier ways of going about things, are so much more just they smooth. They're a smooth ride. You know, you sort of ride the wave through instead of fighting it. And sometimes we forget, or maybe we never knew, or maybe we have, but only in glimpses. And I think this is really important, really important. So where can people buy your books? Where can they find you?
Oh, Emily, thank you. Well, you can find out about me and my schedule. I work with people one-on-one, and I teach lots of classes. And that is at my website, meditationwithheart.com, Meditation with Heart. And you can buy my books, including Happy Relationship, at any of the booksellers. It's at, in the United States, it's at Barnes & Noble, in the stores. It's on Amazon. You can order it. And any of your local shops are usually carrying it.
I am so happy for you. So this is book number...
This is, yes, book number three.
Fantastic. Well, Kimberly Brown, I wish you so much love and success with this book and to share your message of this beautiful, beautiful teachings. And I can't wait to have you back on the show.
Thank you again, Emily. It was really a treat to talk to you. I'm sending you so many blessings in Malta for you and your family.
Thank you so much, and I feel the same of you. And you guys that are listening, make it a great week.